Be seated. This morning's reading from the Word of God is found in the book of Psalms. We'll be reading Psalm 111, verses 3 through 11. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you will find this on page 952. A reading from the book of Psalm. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. In the council of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever. Done in faithfulness and uprightness, he provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. May God bless the reading of his word. As we stand at the beginning of another year, I want to remind all of us that we all have a wonderful opportunity to walk with Jesus over these next 12 months. We have an incredible privilege to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We have a tremendous honor to forever impact all people with whom we come in contact each day. Today, this morning, January 4th, we're starting a new series on prayer. And our series title is The Path of Prayer. We will be looking at all the elements of what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer. It has been said before that Christians offer their prayers like sailors use their pumps, only when the ship leaks. Sadly, I believe this to be somewhat true, and there have been times in my life when this was true of me and for me. When things are going well, we have no need for prayer, and yet when things are a mess, we seek the Lord diligently and faithfully. I want you all to know that this cannot be made as a generalized statement. I realize and I do understand that there are many faithful believers who pray earnestly each and every day. Yet my challenge to us all as we look to this prayer we commonly pray to our Lord is that we would glean an insight into the message of our Savior, Jesus, and how he was instructing us all to pray. If you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you've brought them, let's turn to our text, which is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. For contextual reasons, we will be reading verses 5 through 13. So read along as we listen to Jesus teaching on prayer. Jesus said, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then, like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This passage is found in what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is teaching the crowds about many things pertaining to life, and it's no wonder why he would then move and teach about prayer. You see, friends, in Jesus' culture, prayer was viewed as a very important part of life. And the Bible teaches much about the prayer and power and importance of praying individuals. All throughout the scriptures, the power and importance of prayer is highlighted. In fact, in the book of James, listen to his words from the half-brother of Jesus. "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much." We could look at all the different Old Testament accounts, because the Old Testament, the New Testament, is chocked full of varying accounts of such praying people, such as Abraham's servant who prayed and Rebekah appeared, Jacob who wrestled with God and he prayed, Esau's mind was turned from 20 years of revenge after prayer and through prayer, Moses prayed and Amalek was struck, Hannah prayed and Samuel was born, Isaiah and Hezekiah prayed and in 12 hours 185,000 Assyrians were slain, Elijah prayed and there were 3 years of drought. He prayed again, and then it rained. Daniel prayed, and he faced the lion's den, and he came through unscathed and unharmed. The apostles were imprisoned, and they praised God, and they prayed, and they were released. Friends, these are just a few of the times in scriptures when people prayed and God moved. Friends, are you praying? Am I praying? We could look at Jesus' life and ministry, and we could find he consistently rose early in the morning to go and pray. He was found in the Garden of Gethsemane praying before he was crucified. Jesus would go frequently to the Mount of Olives and pray in the evenings. He usually went to commune with God the Father all by himself. Jesus, in fact, spent an incredible amount of time in prayer, and clearly the power and emphasis during Jesus' earthly ministry was upon prayer. Now, friends, this was the Son of God. This is the Son of God, our Savior, who in fact did spend a quite large amount of time in prayer. I want us to all know that prayer is vital to every other aspect of kingdom living. Now, let me explain what I mean. We cannot truly give without prayer. We cannot truly fast without prayer. We cannot truly take the elements of communion, which we will do so in a few moments, without true prayer. Sure, we can take part in all these acts of faith, but God does not just want rote, meaningless action. God wants all we do to glorify Him. God wants your life and mine to bring Him glory. And so, friends, outside of prayer, all the elements we hold dear are merely empty religious rituals. This is why when Jesus began telling us how to pray, we all should take note and we should listen. Listen to the words of our Lord. We should all sit up and sit straight in our seat and be on the edge of our seat and hear the word of our Lord about the necessity of prayer. This morning I want to focus on verse 9 of this passage. And in fact, Jesus states in this verse, he says, "In this manner you should pray." The first stop that we need to do is we need to stop right at that phrase, since it's vitally important to the message of Christ. Now, I want us all to understand that Jesus was not giving us a prayer to pray, but He was giving us a succinct and comprehensive outline of what true prayer should be and what true prayer should look like. So sometimes when we recite the Lord's Prayer each week, I wonder if it's not doing us more harm than good. Friends, if this were not the case, Jesus would have stated, "Pray this," or "Pray the following." And so we need to start there. We need to understand the message of Christ was to take the form and to use it in our personal prayer time. But he continues and he goes and he says in the rest of verse 9, he says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is our message for us this morning. Prayer is the path to praise. Did you hear that? Prayer is the path to praise. Without prayer, friends, we will not praise the Lord who deserves all of our praise and thanksgiving. Friends, truly, prayer is the path to praise. I want that to sink in and go deep in your soul and mine. This was the message Jesus was speaking to those who were hearing him and to us today. You see, in those some 70 or so odd words, the message Jesus was speaking was a message that prayer needs to focus upon God, on his adoration, on his worthiness, and on his glory. Did you hear that? All through this format for prayer, Jesus says to focus upon God, to adore Him, to praise His worthiness, to give Him the glory. And in that sense, prayer is the path to praise. Sadly, we're often like the little boy who was ready for bed and he interrupted a family gathering in the living room and he stated, "I'm going to say my bedtime prayers now. Anybody want anything?" It's true. I've been there. You've been there. I think we've all been there. We go to God with a litany of a list of different needs and wants and desires, and we're like that little boy. And yet we don't praise God for His goodness. We don't praise God for His worthiness. We don't praise God for Him inhabiting eternity. We do view God like that sometimes. I know I personally can fall into that trap. It begins to, you know, just eke and seep into a crunch of time, and then our needs come to the forefront, and instead of having a time of worship and fellowship with the Lord, we view God as our one to meet our every need. And friends, know this, that God does want to meet your needs. Notice the pronoun that Jesus says we should use when we pray. It's our, signifying an intimate connection, a relationship, a personal relationship with God. A definite father-child relationship is in view here that Jesus is wanting to communicate to you and to me. And it's not just any father-child relationship. It's a loving, intimate relationship. And God is absolutely eager to lend His ear, to lend His power and His eternal blessing to the requests of His children, which is you and me. If it serves you and I best and further reveals the Lord's purpose and glory. See, friends, we must get to a place in our journey with Jesus where we adore Him fully, completely. We must speak of His worthiness. We must give Him all the glory. If we fail to get there, then our religion is worthless. It's meaningless. It's simply rote activity and a waste of your time and mine. Friends, God deserves our praise. He and he alone is worthy. He deserves to be glorified, and he should be adored by you and me. And friends, prayer is the path to praise. Jesus speaks of the reason that God is worthy in the very first phrase, "Our Father who art in heaven." You see, God is the one who inhabits eternity, and I want you to let that sink in. We worship and we serve a God who lives in eternity. God lives in all time. Wrap your mind around that. Amazing. God's residence is heaven. His zip code is heaven. Think of that. It's wonderful and an incredible thought. It's an awesome reality. And I personally am so thankful that we worship a God who is in heaven. For this shows his true power. It shows his ability. It shows his preeminence, meaning he's before everything. And it shows his sovereignty, which means he's over everything. But lastly, friends, prayer is the path to praise because of what Jesus says next. Listen with me now. Hallowed be thy name. I want us all to understand what it means to hallow something. To put it succinctly, to hallow something is to make it holy. Did you hear that? To make something holy is to hallow it. Jesus is saying to make God's name holy. Now we may be wondering how you and I, we can truly make God's holy. Isn't God's name already holy? Yes, God is holy by nature. But I want to put this together for us here this morning. As we can make God's name holy. To hallow God's name is to attribute to God the holiness that already is in him and always has been uniquely his. To hallow God's name is to revere, to honor, to glorify, and to obey him as God. But friends, it goes deeper than that. To truly hallow God's name, it must begin in our hearts. Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, he tells us to sanctify. It's the same Greek word, hagiazo, and to sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts is what Peter says. You will find this verse in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. To sanctify something means to make it holy. It must begin inside of you and me. Jesus stated himself, the overflow of the heart comes out the mouth. We can safely say that what we purpose in our hearts will affect our lives and how we live, how we speak, how we interact with others, and what we deem to be important. I want you to see the connection here this morning. We'll be partaking in communion in a few moments. We'll be taking the elements of bread and juice within our bodies. Internally, we will be ingesting the sacraments of the bread and of the cup, which are holy, and ingesting them, they become part of us, forever to remain part of you and me. This is the essence of prayer, friends. It's the essence of you and I hallowing God's name. It allows God to be forever to be a part of your day. Your moment, your time. It allows God to change you from the inside out. It has been said that prayer doesn't change things, it changes us. I'll say that again. It's been said that prayer doesn't change things, but it changes us. As David, the psalmist, stated, "I have set the Lord always before me." You see, when we come to the communion table, when we partake, we will set those elements before us, and we will take them to ourselves to forever be a part of us and never to remain independent of us. They become a part of us. And when we pray, the message that Jesus is saying, that God will forever be a part of you, forever and ever and ever when you pray. Friends, the promise of God, one of my favorite, is that he will never leave nor forsake us. We must allow God to change us through prayer. We must allow God to mold us as we pray, and this will internally change you and me. So then we will be able to praise the Lord for what he has done. When we were in Mexico, Pastor Sullivan had this shirt, and on the front of it says, "I'm not the man I used to be." And on the back it said, "Praise God, I'm not that man anymore." Friends, that's prayer. So friends, as we prepare our hearts, as we prepare our minds and souls for taking communion, let us always remember that when we pray, we are being forever changed. As we hallow God's name in our life and through our life, we do have an intimate Father who is in heaven, willing and even yearning to impact your life and mine every single day. We must make holy the Lord's name through our lives and be consistent, and as we are changed by prayer each day, our actions will reveal the holiness of God to those who are watching. Just like the bread and the cup will be forever a part of your physical body, when we pray, God will be a forever part of those moments, those days, and those years in which we allow Him to change us from the inside out. And friends, when we begin to see this happen on a regular basis, our prayers truly will be the path to praise for everything, for what God has done. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this challenge. We thank You for this word. We thank You for Your message, Jesus. And oh, Christ, our coming King, our risen Savior, the eternal I Am, the first and the last, we do so love You. We thank You for this day. And Lord God, we praise You for all that You have done and all that You have blessed us with, the intimate relationship that You yearn to be in with us. We bless You for that. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to approach Your holy throne of grace with boldness. And Lord, we just lift this to You. We say, take us and use us, mold us and make us, shape us and form us. May we reveal Your goodness, Your grace and Your mercy, Your love and Your truth. And Father, as we prepare our hearts and our souls to meet around Your table, the Lord's table, the table that You, Jesus, instituted and told us to do in remembrance of You, we thank You for the bread and the cup. We pray that You would sanctify them, You would bless them, You would honor them. And may we not just partake in these sacraments, but may they truly be a representation of what You want to do in our heart, in our soul, and in our life, and the mode being prayer. We love You, O Jesus, and we bless Your holy name. We lift this time to You, and we bless You for all that You have done and all that You are doing. In the wonderful and the gracious and the holy and the awesome name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. If you're visiting with us here this morning, we have an open communion table. All that we suggest and require is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We will be partaking with the elements by intinction. What that means is you will be given a piece of bread, you will dip that bread into the juice, and then you will take part in with both at the same time. If those would come that are going to distribute the elements with me, come forward. May we all bless the Lord and give Him thanks and bless Him for this wonderful day. Please stand. Sing along.
As we just bow our heads, Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives, Father. Let us not forget to take everything to you in prayer, Father, and to give you praise, Father, because hallowed be your name, Father. Let us give you praise, Father. And Lord, you are so much bigger than any problem we have at all. You are so much bigger. Father, let us remember that you can take care of everything. We don't need to worry ourselves with the worries of today, for you tell us to have peace, peace in our lives, peace that you leave with us, and understanding, Father, that we have a future in you. Father, if there's anybody here today that's carried anything with them, or just needs you, or doesn't even know you, Father, let them come up here today and get to know you, Father, and let us have a special blessing over this church and everyone that's here, Father, as we come together in unity to worship you and lay aside everything. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. As we enter into this last song, Lord, I need you. Please remember that if you need the Lord today, or if you need anything, or you just want to praise him, that these altars are open. And if you don't know the Lord, remember that he is here and he wants to have a relationship with you. There's people that will pray with you if you want to come up.
Is more where grace is found is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me, Lord, I need. I need you every hour. temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Lord, I need you.
We close here this morning. It is true that we all need God, and we all need to allow God to make him holy in our life, so we allow him to be hallowed in his name and in our life. As we depart, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may we truly, through prayer, allow God to form us and change us and mold us and make us into what he wants us to be. And may we truly bring glory unto him. For he and he alone is worthy. He and he alone is good. And so may you depart in the name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Spirit. Go in the power and the peace of prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.